Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, it's 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We got an email from Doug in Wellsboro.
This is good.
We were talking about the Daily Collegian with their greatest athlete bracket. So Doug writes, what? No announcer category? Even Steve would be an eighth seed.
I think you're a definite number eight there. I think you've got an eight seed wrapped up. I might have to do the play-in game, but you got an eight seed.
I'm sorry. An eighth seed.
First round. They don't call them play-ins anymore.
That's right. Doug, that's a good one. I like it. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Hang on. I'd love to do that play-by-play call of the day, but I didn't have it ready to go. Okay, now I got it ready to go. He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
111-108. All right, no timeouts. Porzingis into Calderon. Calderon, 2 seconds. Right wing open for three. Galloway off the rim, no, and that's it. The buzzer sounds. Langston Galloway. Head down on the floor.
Had a look.
As he knows.
He had an open.
It was there, but it wasn't.
Open three. Wow.
Open three off the rim. Porzingis comes over to console Galloway, and the Wizards escape. Escape with a 111-108 win over the Knicks tonight.
The Kurt Rambis era not off to a sterling start, and apparently it's the same as the Derek Fisher era.
Some things never change.
Welcome to another season of New York Knicks basketball. I was just in Madison Square Garden. I saw your 1973 banner, which was your last one. All right. Now, did you come up with your five things that you'll be looking for this year?
I think so. I think I came up with five. I bet you can guess at least one of them.
Well, just go ahead. Just let it rip.
Well, obviously, any story involving the Rio Olympics, whether it's going to be if they're going to have it, if athletes are going to show up, if they actually have the games, and then who wins. So that's one story. I'll take Rio as a whole story there. That would be my number one.
Mm-hmm.
My number two is going to be whether Peyton Manning retires or not. The longer he draws this out, the longer this story is going to be talked about. So I think that's going to be a big story this year. The other one is one that probably won't surprise you a ton, but the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500.
Okay.
Just because, now normally I wouldn't put that there, but with it being the 100th running, I think it's going to see a lot of attention this time around. And hopefully IndyCar can make the most of it and not make it look like a disaster the way they did last year with changing the car specs in the middle of the qualifying and everything.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it didn't go over well. The other one I think is the Masters, just because of the time of year it hits. No matter if you're a golf fan or not, or you're just a casual player, you're going to watch some of the Masters. And this goes back to what you had said about the timing of things. Like, the Super Bowl has a perfect timing. There's not much going on in February, so it can be the highlight then.
Right.
You know, the Daytona 500, not much going on then, and you're down in a sunny, warm place. Same thing here with Augusta. It's April. And it's everybody's just starting to get that golf feeling up here and ready to take the clubs out. So I think the Masters, because of the perfect timing. And
I wish you'd play more golf.
Me too.
I wish you'd play more golf, because, you know, every time we go out and play, it seems like as the round goes, you get a little bit better. And I think if you played more, but that's just me.
No, I like what you're thinking there. I like that idea a lot. So those would be the ones that, that popped to my head. And, of course, the last one that I would put lower on the list is who will be the NFL team in Los Angeles.
Okay. All right. There, in sports, there are the usual what's a big story to me thing. For example, what will Penn State's football record be this year? Are they going to get better? Can Penn State wrestling win another national championship? Will the new recruiting class that Patrick Chambers brought in now take basketball to another level? And by the way, can Bucknell win a round in the NCAA tournament if they make it? We're carrying the Phillies. Big story this year. Huge story. Phillies probably in the lower third of minor league organizations a year ago now or in the top five or six, and the hope is huge. And, of course, you have the Pirates. You know, can they win the division? They have a little window to do it. The Orioles, I think, are a very intriguing story. Now, especially now that they've signed Davis, they're in a wide open division. And of course, there's the usual. Can the Steelers get back to the Super Bowl? What will the Eagles do under Doug Peterson? Those are all personal, interesting stories for any fan in our area to get themselves immersed in. But not one of those is a big-picture story. And there are going to be several big-picture stories that I'm going to take a long, hard look at over the next year that need to be looked at and also are going to affect people out there as we go. Let's start with one. Then I'll work my way to what I think is the number one story. Kevin, I completely agree with you. Does Los Angeles go forward with one team or two? So what happens to the Chargers? We already know what's going to happen with the Rams. What happens to the Chargers? What happens to the Raiders? How does that play out in a league that talks about stability all the time? Now, does it affect the fans here locally? No, but I think it's of interest and it bears watching, and it's all part of the politics and the business of sports. Politics enters into it dramatically because of everything that's happened in San Diego. The business part is what happens with the Spanos family, which we talked about that. And also, what does Mark Davis do with the Raiders? Because there's been no movement in Oakland to do anything up there. That's one. Number two, the concussion issue. The concussion issue is going to hang over every sport, but in particular football. Football really struggles with this because of perception. Football is getting crushed because of perception. If you sit there and you tell people there are actually more concussions in soccer than football, they are stunned beyond words when you tell them that. But the stats show that that is the case. There are actually more concussions in soccer than there are in football.
You know,
based on the reported numbers, and people don't realize that, but football perception-wise cannot get itself out of the rut because of Junior Seau and Dave Duerson, and now Ken Stabler.
And the way this story is being reported, like on places like Good Morning America, kind of bothers me as well. The NFL had more concussions this year than ever. That's because they know what they're looking for now, and they're actually for it. So it's not a fair comparison to say that the NFL had more concussions this year than last year, because they're actually looking for them now.
But it is a significant story in that we had Henry Hynoski on the show last week. He was personal and very close friends with Tyler Sash. You can only tell if someone actually has CTE post-mortem. And it turned out Tyler Sash did, which now explains the erratic behavior he had in the later part of his life, later being 27 years of age. So that's going to be a huge story that's not going to go away and is going to bear watching moving forward. You had talked before Christmas that the movie might have an effect. The movie has no effect.
No, has had very little, if any. As a matter of fact, they're not even seeing numbers on that movie.
Right. They're not. Now, maybe when it gets to TV, I don't know. That's a possibility. But it started out, when you have it up against Star Wars, you're not going to get a lot of run. It opened up sixth, and the primary story that came out of the movie was that Dave Duerson was misportrayed.
that's not the story you wanted out of the movie. Because what Hollywood does is they take a compilation of characters and they turn it into one. Well, when they turn a compilation of characters into one, and the one they turned it into is a real person, you're not going to do the story right, and now you've got a problem with the message that you're trying to put out in the movie, because the first message is, well, they got Duerson wrong. That's not the number one thing you want coming out of it, and that was an issue. Next, the Final Four is going to TBS this year. Last year, the Final Four, the national championship game between Duke and Wisconsin, drew 28.3 million viewers on CBS. It actually outdrew this year's national championship college football game, which had 26.4 million viewers. When you add all the platforms of ESPN together, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, when you add it all up, it came out to 26.4. The national championship game in college basketball on over-the-air television had 28.3 million. Now, if ESPN had put this game out on ABC, I wonder how much higher the number would have been. I think it would have been a lot higher. So the Final Four goes to TBS. That is a dramatic move. That is going to dramatically knock down the number of people watching the national championship game. Which then brings us back to college football. The Final Four on New Year's Eve. Do they catch a break this year that New Year's Eve is a Saturday? The rating went down 40% by putting it on New Year's Eve. Kevin talked about this late last year. He said, look, I'm not going to really watch it. I'm going out to have a good time. And eventually he found a party where he snuck into and
found somebody willing to have me, yeah.
No, they just found out now.
And you know what? The game wasn't on.
Right.
Neither.
Jack and I watched it in a bar. So that's where we watched both of them. That's significant moving forward. How much longer can they continue to do it, or do they get a ratings bounce back this year? We'll see. Cutting the cord from cable. Another huge story. Last year in wrestling drew record numbers for the championship. They drew 694,000 viewers on ESPN. Now, obviously, I just talked about 28.3 million for the basketball championship game. I just talked about 26.4 million for the national championship football game. So 694,000 doesn't exactly make you sit there and go, oh my goodness, it's a trend. But it is a record number. Now let's bring it to cutting the cord. When you add in those who followed the tournament for 3 days using their mobile device, which you can track on ESPN3, it was 1.3 million. I find that number to be intriguing and interesting, good for the sport of wrestling, but also brings up cord cutting. Fox Sports 1 is cutting back left and right. ESPN has made layoffs. Let's see how cutting the cord plays out as the year goes.
You know, Steve,
North Carolina.
Real quick, though, I want to jump in with that because you make a great point there. One of the things that stops people from cutting the cord right now is sports broadcasts, because that's not true. All of them are available on the web or streaming. And one of the biggest is the NFL. And if the NFL works a deal with Google for YouTube, as they've talked about now for a couple of years, that really changes the dynamic of that particular story you're talking about. I agree with you. That's a good one.
North Carolina and Louisville investigations. They're both sorted. They both need to be sorted out. I find the North Carolina situation to be appalling in that, well, we really won't do much on it and really rule on it until April. Oh, you mean after the tournament? Oh, okay. But that's what they should be investigating. The potential of a phony class, the potential of a phony grade, the potential of a phony major, the potential that you don't have to go to class or write a paper or take a test to get an A. That's what they should be looking into. It's a major story. Next, I mentioned this yesterday, Michigan going to taking spring practice for Florida. Not huge. I mean, it's not huge, but it's something they need to look into, because I don't care if it's Oregon State. I don't care if it's Stanford. I don't care if it was Indiana doing this. But let's take, for example, finances. Now, Dick called yesterday from Milton about, look, you can go every 4 years on a basketball tour. And you can. Dick's absolutely right. And I don't like it, which I pointed out to him. I don't like it because I don't know what it does for you. You play 3-4 games, and then 7 weeks later, you start practice. Okay. To me, it's just going on a trip to Europe, playing some games, and having a good time. Now, obviously, they're a little more serious about it than that. But the one thing that, I don't think Dick said this, but Dick is correct in that, it's that rule will not change. The compromise on that rule years ago was that teams were going on those foreign trips every year. Duke would go every year. Purdue would go every year. I mean, they go every year. So the compromise was, look, you can do it every 4 years. That's why that rule is not changing and it's not going away. I may not be crazy about it, but at least now they've solved it, and they did so years ago by, look, okay, we're just going to let, you know, the ability to have teams go every 4 years and spread the wealth and do it. Okay, good enough. This is different. Michigan has the financial means to do it. You got to fly your team down there. You have to put them in a hotel. You have to send your equipment truck down with all the equipment to set up. You've got to feed them. I mean, there's all sorts of things you have to do for a week, which comes out of your budget to do. And I always get a kick out of, boy, Ed Harbaugh, he's so innovative. He looks at the, you know, he found this loophole in the rules. He didn't find a loophole in the rule. Tom Izzo did. Izzo found out and figured out that they could take the basketball team down to the national semifinal against Alabama under the new rule that was put in place this year. That allowed, there was a loophole that allowed it to happen. When Harbaugh read that, then he said, hey, maybe we can do that with spring practice. That's where he got innovative. Well, it's only 1 week. It's only four practices. Okay, I understand that. But it's only spring practice. What's the end game? The end game is not Pitt and Gonzaga going to Japan playing a regular season basketball game, so you're practicing 3 days there to play a regular season game. Or UConn playing Michigan State in basketball in Germany, where you practice there for 3 or 4 days, and it's a regular season game. The end game here for Michigan is a scrimmage at the end. Now, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Rutgers, in the same conference. But Rutgers is hemorrhaging cash. They can't afford to do this. That's part of the uneven playing field of the have versus a have not. I mean, could Penn State do it? Sure, Penn State could do it. But this is something that needs to be looked into to really even up the playing field, because I mean, a school like Rutgers... Rutgers does not become a full partner in the Big Ten television package for another 4 years. It's a six-year integration. It's a six-year integration for Rutgers and Maryland. Nebraska is into year five, so it will be after next year that Rutgers, Nebraska will be a full partner in television for the Big Ten. So Rutgers, which already had financial problems to begin with, just by being in the Big Ten, it's helped soften the blow in some ways, but they're still hemorrhaging money there. They can't do this, and they're in the same division with Michigan. So I think they're going to look into that as to, yeah, if you have to, you know, if you're doing construction on campus or something like that and you got to go someplace. For example, Ohio State was doing something at Ohio Stadium. They played their 2013 game at Cincinnati. But at least it was in the same state. So they've got to look into that. That'll be important. Next one, Nike 7-on-7. Huge story. Does Nike 7-on-7 be to college football what the AAU is to college basketball? The influence of the high school basketball coach, and Kevin, you can talk to Tim Foer about this, and I bet he'd give you an earful about it. and I think you should talk to him about it. The influence of the AAU coach in the process, for the most part, appears to be exponentially greater than the high school basketball coach that the young person is playing for.
In AAU? If they play in AAU, absolutely. I don't need to talk to him. I already know that answer. You're absolutely right.
Right. Hey, does Nike 7-on-7 now become that kind of influence in college football that AAU is in college basketball? That is a huge story that may take time beyond this year to get a feel for, but it's something that you as a fan should bear watching to see what it does. A lot more on my list. My list was longer than five. Again, the usual stuff that people, you know, they care about. Hey, is Penn State going to win the national championship in wrestling? How many individual titles are they going to win? Is football going to be better? How many more wins? Basketball, that recruiting class, they're going to start making a difference. The Phillies, you know, that farm system is going to make a difference. Are the Pirates going to challenge for the division to make the playoffs? The Steelers, can they win the Super Bowl? Will the Eagles be better under Doug Peterson? Those are all typical everyday things that people are passionate about, and I completely understand. These are bigger picture items that if you lose sight of the bigger picture, you're not going to have the smaller picture to worry about. We'll come back, bottom of the hour news, then more of this list in a moment. And if you want to add to the list, I'd love to hear it. 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565 on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Forget the groundhog. The sales manager at Sunbury Motors Kia saw his shadow on the lot.
So that can only mean one thing.
Another 4 weeks of easy dealing at Sunbury Motors Kia. Say easy. We mean easy. 0% APR financing for up to 66 months on all remaining 2015 models, as well as the 2016 Serrano, Sportage, Sedona, Forte, and the iconic Soul. SMC has snow busting 2016 Serranos and Sportages starting at $21,554, plus clearance pricing on all new Kias. And remember, all new Kias come with an easy 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. The sales manager at Sunbury Motors Kia saw his shadow. So there's four more weeks of huge savings at Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And Warrants, time now for our sports bozo of the day. And it's the LeSean McCoy incident in Philadelphia. According to a source, arrest warrants are expected soon in the incident involving LeSean McCoy. And according to WPVI in Philadelphia, investigators are recommending that McCoy be one of the individuals charged with aggravated assault. Meanwhile, the off-duty police officers will face no internal discipline charges as a result of the alleged incident. There you go. By the way, the attorney for LeSean McCoy says that if charged, he will turn himself in right away. Okay. Now, we've gone through our list here. Listen, the biggest sports stories we really need to keep an eye on, beyond, obviously, the emotional, passionate ones that a fan follows on an everyday basis, big picture items that could change the tone of what we see in sports. So I talked about the concussion issue. New Year's Eve college football. Final Four going from CBS to TBS. Not everybody has TBS in their cable. Most people do, but not everybody. Which then gets us the cord cutting from cable. New Year's Eve college football. Chargers and Raiders. What happens with them? Moving franchises. It's a smaller item, but Michigan doing spring practice in Florida, you're going to see the NCAA take some action, I think, eventually on that. I talked about Nike 7-on-7 and how that could change the landscape of recruiting. Where recruiting in college basketball is so AAU-dominated, there are very few players that in college basketball or that are American players playing in the NBA that did not go through the AAU system. That's why Otto Porter of Georgetown, who ended up being a first-round pick of the Wizards, I believe, was such a rarity because Otto Porter never played AAU basketball. His father didn't believe in it. It was a rarity. So will Nike 7-on-7 become the new AAU for college football? A question to contemplate and see how it plays out. Next, when I came back from vacation in August, I floored Kevin by the first three shows after that. Floored him. Because I spent almost all of it talking about DraftKings and FanDuel. And I said that would be a significant story that needed to be watched over the next 6 months. Well, look what's happened over the last 6 months. DraftKings and FanDuel banned in Nevada, banned in other states, right now in a fight with the Attorney General in the state of New York. There's talk about banning it here, and they're fighting for it. Now, FanDuel DraftKings is significant in two ways. Number one, how it came about is significant. Because, as I pointed out, just to give you some background, it was passed as part of the 2006 Internet Act on the final day of the congressional session. Former Senator Frank Lautenberg from New Jersey, active as the senior senator from New Jersey at the time, freely admits to this day they never read the bill. This loophole was in the bill. Now, whether clever lobbyists for the eventual FanDuel and the eventual DraftKings helped put it in, or the ownership was just smart enough to find it. Games of skill. You and I both know that playing FanDuel or DraftKings is very much like fantasy, whatever the sport is, on steroids.
There's no skill. I mean, right. There's skill in maybe picking players that make sense. How's that? The skill is picking a guy who actually is going to play. Maybe that is the skill part of it, but that's about it.
But is it a skill to say the Broncos' defense is great and
no.
I think they'll cover?
No. Because you have no control over the outcome. You could play Peyton Manning.
But you have no control over FanDuel or DraftKings.
No, that's my point. That's exactly my point. No, I am 100% in agreement with you. To say that FanDuel, DraftKings, and other setups like that are skill, no. The only thing that's a skill is you pick the starting quarterback over the third string quarterback. That's the skill. Now, the fact that you have no control over the fact that he stays healthy, that he doesn't get knocked out of the game, that he has a good game or a bad game, you have no control over that at all. That's where the luck comes in. So, no, I don't buy the skill comment and the skill thought at all.
Now let's take it one step further, because I said this is a two-part process here. We've talked about that part of the process. Now here's the other part. In weeks 2 and 3 of the NFL season, FanDuel and DraftKings actually took in more money than Nevada Sportsbook did. Reno, Carson City, Henderson, Las Vegas. FanDuel and DraftKings took in more money in weeks 2 and 3 than Nevada Sportsbook did. Now that has since changed. Because the more negative publicity FanDuel and DraftKings gets, play is down. Major League Baseball has backed off on an agreement. ESPN has backed off on an agreement. And
does the NFL have an agreement?
The NFL, I do not think, has a formal agreement.
Because
But for example, the Kraft family
on four different occasions has invested in DraftKings, which is a Boston-based business.
Well, and I know DraftKings, I think it's DraftKings that sponsors Red Zone on the NFL, but that's part of NFL Network, so they're willing to take the money.
But now let's get to the big picture part of it. The big picture part of it is, has the FanDuel DraftKings phenomenon, which is now tailing off, has that opened the door for a significant discussion on legal sports book in the country? Oregon, Montana, Delaware, and Nevada are allowed to have it. Only Nevada at the moment does have it. New Jersey wants to have it, had the door open to them years ago, turned it down, now is saying, wait, we should have, because they're trying to obviously save and revive Atlantic City. The NFL, there was a very thoughtful column on the topic written by Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, in the New York Times in an op-ed piece in November of 2014, which I think is worth reading if you want to find it. The key is this. If the leagues, the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, and the NBA, think that they can make significant money out of this themselves, I think the door would open to it. And what FanDuel and DraftKings have done is that they've shown that there is an incredible interest in that direction. Whether it makes it or not remains to be seen, but that's a big story that bears watching. Kevin mentioned the Olympics. He also mentioned the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500.
That's big to me, but maybe not a lot of people.
Based on the ratings, you're correct with that last statement. Olympic problems, Zika, and water. When they bid for the Olympics years ago, and here's one of the issues that you have with FIFA and the IOC. You can talk about, you know, the words corruption gets thrown around a lot with those two organizations. But part of it, too, is that in order to have the event, you have to bid for it so many years in advance. That, let's face it, in the end, you can almost guarantee there are going to be cost overruns on everything because 7-8 years ago when you bid for it, did you really think everything was going to cost as much as it does now? Labor, materials? Of course not. 7 or 8 years later, it's a real guessing game is how much you think. And right now, the Rio Olympics are way over budget. I mean, exponentially over budget. Now they have an additional problem. When they bid for this, there is a real feeling within the country of Brazil that by getting the Olympics, it would help solve the water problem because they would go all out to make the games a showcase and in turn solve the water problem. They have done nothing to solve the water problem, which then brings us to the next part. As Kevin correctly pointed out yesterday, what gathers around standing water that's dirty?
Mosquitoes.
And the mosquitoes are carrying the Zika virus. And by the way, evidently there's been, in China, Zika just showed up. So what do you do? Hope Solo says, look, I'm going to take a long look at this. I might not play. For the first time since 1904, you're going to have golf in the Olympics. If you're Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler, Jason Day, Phil Mickelson, Brant Snedeker, whomever, playing in the Olympic Games, which is an incredible honor, and winning a gold medal is an incredible accomplishment, do you risk going playing an outdoor event for 5 hours out there, knowing that this exists? And that's just one example of many sports that have an outdoor component to it. Now here's the next part, equally as important. What about all the fans? Do you want to go?
Well, I did up until a couple of months ago.
I wouldn't want to go. I mean, what do you do with the fans? They're all outdoors. They're not going to get the ultra protection that maybe some of the athletes get.
What about them? It's a big problem. Major League Baseball collective bargaining agreement runs out at the end of this year. There are two key items to look at. One, could there be a rollback to a 154-game schedule, thus putting more off days into the schedule? It wouldn't end the season sooner. It would put more off days into the schedule. Or do you stick with a 162-game schedule and play more doubleheaders to then build in more off days in the schedule? That'll need to be discussed. And then what do you do with the designated hitter? Does the Major League Baseball Players Association try to bargain and negotiate for the DH to be in both leagues? Because for their rank and file, an aging player, Ryan Howard, good example, of being a DH gets to play longer, makes more money, and would probably make more money than the third, fourth, or fifth starter on a pitching staff. Probably make more money than the number two starter on a pitching staff. So from the rank and file point of view, the DH might be something that the Major League Baseball Players Association wants to put on the negotiating table. That's why the collective bargaining agreement at the end of this year is so significant. What do you do with the schedule? Do you drop down to 154 and build in off days? Or do you stick at 162, have double headers to build in off days? And do you then negotiate in the DH where it's the same in both leagues or keep things the same? That's the significance of the collective bargaining agreement. Again, it affects what you watch. Same thing with the NBA Players Association. Now, their contract runs out at the end of next year, in 2017. Why, ask yourself, why is LeBron James only signed a 2-year contract and a 1-year contract with Cleveland? Why? Because the collective bargaining agreement's up. And the television money is exponentially greater in the NBA than it's ever been. $2.6 billion a year. Now, Michelle Roberts has already come out and said, look, you have to be kidding me. You can't have the games without the players. Yes, and you can't have teams without owners, and you can't have owners and players without fans. She needs to understand the big picture and how everything works together. But that's something to watch out for. My top two items next on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Quick review. Kevin's number one story of the year is the 100th Indianapolis 500.
Not true.
Was it the Olympics?
Yes.
Okay, the Olympics. And Peyton Manning retiring in the Masters and
the mess.
People going around in a circle.
It's a tradition like no other.
Mm-hmm. Chargers, Raiders, Rams, concussion issue NFL, trying to put the semifinals on New Year's Eve, second straight year. Final Four going to TBS, cutting the cord for cable and sports. The North Carolina and Louisville investigations. Minor one is Michigan having spring practice in Florida, but it still has to be dealt with. Nike 7-on-7 effect on recruiting. FanDuel, DraftKings, and whether they're still in existence a year from now and what they look like, and does it open the door eventually to sportsbook? Olympic problems, which we discussed, the bargaining agreement with Major League Baseball and the schedule and the DH. How nasty could the NBA players' deal be? Those are the ones I've been looking at. Now my last two. Number two on my list overall is the Big Ten Network contract. And the Big Ten Network contracts affects what you watch and where you can find it. Now, when it comes to the Big Ten Network itself, it's a 25-year agreement, and I think they're in year 8 of it right now, so they've got 17 more to go. So the Big Ten Network's always going to be an outlet. Does ABC, ESPN, do they have a cut of the action? Football, basketball, does Fox Sports 1 get involved? Does Fox get involved? Does CBS retain a part of the basketball package by putting on Sunday games and the semifinals and finals of the Big Ten tournament? Does Fox continue to broadcast the football championship game over the air, Fox? How will it be divvied up? Will NBC get involved? Will CBS try to make a play for it? By September, October, we should know what's happening. This affects you because you're the one that's going to... Now, the contract stays the same this year. It'll start in 2017. But this affects you as to where you find Penn State sports. Now, the next issue is, how do you get more exposure from some sports? Wrestling does not get its just due from the Big Ten. And the Big Ten's the only Power 5 conference where every school has wrestling. The SEC only has Missouri. They're in the Mid-American. And I know, while not having widespread appeal, because it doesn't, there's only 75 schools in the country that have Division I wrestling, and 11 are in this state. Wrestling is still in the Big Ten footprint, and especially in Pennsylvania, ultra popular. And the Ohio State-Penn State dual meet last Friday showed that. That's going to be a huge story as to where you find that, how much each school is going to get from it, how many years is it, and how does it affect you, the fan? And number one, Kevin, you probably can't guess my number one.
No, I highly doubt that I could.
Number one is, what do you finally decide when you announce this summer what you're going to do with Beaver Stadium? That will be not a small story, a huge story. We have talked about it. We've had Sandy Barber on the show three times now discussing it. Tomorrow, Scott Radisic from Populous is going to join us on the show. He's going to join me here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Now, we're not going to get into specifics because, look, they're not ready to get into specifics. It's February. The complete report hasn't even been handed in yet. But they've put out surveys to fans, fans that go to Rec Hall, fans that go to Jeffrey Field, go to the Jordan Center, go to Beaver Stadium. And they put out surveys. They want to know what you, the fan, wants. I'll get into Scott with several items as to how you go about solutions and structures and what he's heard so far. And Scott Radisic will join us tomorrow on the show. But that will be the number one issue for fans across our area. What are you going to do with Beaver Stadium? Renovate it or build a new stadium? Around July, we should know. But I also think it'll be the number one story around here for the summer. Not the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500.